There was a fellow in Eretz Yisrael who had a shoe shop. He was importing shoes from China. He wanted to find a way of avoiding paying tax. Chas v'sholom, shtitz on the street in the Medina. So he told the supplier, he told him exactly what shoes he wanted. He sent the container of only left shoes. So he sends a container full of left shoes, it comes to the port, he gets the notice that's in the port, he just ignores it. Eventually, the tax authority doesn't get collected, so they put it on auction. Chetzach, anyone comes to see, it's left shoes. Everyone leaves it. So he goes and buys it for a lot less than the tax could be. A few weeks later, he tells them, right, now send the right shoes. And they send all the right shoes, same meiser, he doesn't collect it, they auction it off, no one comes to buy it. He saves a lot of tax. I say his taxes are very high there. The shayla would be like this. Can we give the tax authority an etzer that they should, to sell these shoes, they should say we've got a container here of shoes and we don't let you look at them. Container of shoes from this supplier, full of brand new shoes, do you want to buy it? We're not letting you look.
Who's going to buy them?
Would that work?
Who's going to buy them? Without selling them?
I don't understand.
Set off a container of shoes without disclosing what's inside.
So the
tax authority are not coming to Chiyuv Dayanus. So let's get the shayla a bit closer to home. So now I don't know how many of you are familiar with the way Amazon works, but they sell so many things and they get so many returns that it's not kedai for them bechlal to spend time or manpower sorting out the returns. So what do? They take all the returns, pile them up on pallets. Some of them they don't even open to check there's anything inside, and they sell them off, either themselves or through a third-party liquidator. They sell off, you can buy a pallet of Amazon returns. People buy them for whatever they're worth, or sometimes they auction them, they open them up, people work through them, some things they can sell, some things they can refurbish, and some things go in the bin. But when the people buy them, they have no idea what they're buying. So the shayla would be like this. Let's say a yid buys one of these pallets, and he decides he's not opening it up, he sells it on to another yid. And the second yid opens it up and finds that it's garbage.
Yeah.
Empty boxes, broken stuff, all things which are just not kedai to go through the work of selling. Can the second yid go back to the first yid and say, I don't want it?
He knew he bought it unseen. He bought it unseen.
Why did you buy it?
Why did you check it for this?
Why did you check it? Let him check it.
He couldn't sell, he bought it unseen.
Yeah.
He misdescribed it.
He didn't have to check it.
Don't buy it.
Exactly. This is the response I was expecting. Most people would first assume you know what you're buying, or you know they don't know what you're buying. So that's it. The seller has done nothing wrong. So this is one of the cases where we see that Shulchan Aruch can be surprising. And we can't always use our common sense. And sometimes it's better to check into things beforehand. And so I'm gonna talk about three different hechtimsas, and then I'll explain the background of the halacha. Number one, this case, he bought a pallet and sold it straight on without opening it. And have a second case, someone opened up the pallet, opened up the job lot, he knows what's inside, there's nothing major inside, but he sells on everything that he bought. Without changing anything, without adding anything, taking away anything. He just happens to know what's inside. And the third case is someone makes his own job lot, he's selling on eBay, and then he's left with all the schmonsters that he can't sell. Because you know what, I'll put them all onto a pallet, I'll sell it, this is a job lot. So now, in halacha, when we work on agreements, we don't look purely at what was spoken. In most countries, civil law, you said that you're not disclosing what's inside, you said you don't know what's inside, sold as seen, goes no problem. In halacha, we don't look at what's spoken purely. The Rachman Alibabo, we always have to look, when the person made an agreement, made a deal, was there Gemiris Das? Did he really mean what he was saying? The main part of the agreement is not the words spoken, it's the meeting of the minds. And we, Chazal give us ways of working out what do people really mean. Now this is the Yisoid of Asmachta. We're going to read the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, so I'm going to reish. Reish Tes Sif Beis. When we learn this in Kollel, the first thing everyone was thinking of is job lots. So this is a halacha, it's a Rambam from Rav Haigon. The Torah brings it, Shulchan Aruch brings it. Ha'oimel lechaveiroi, someone tells his friend, Kol ma shigeish v'bayi zeh ani moichelach. Anything in this house. There's a house here. Anything inside, I'm selling it to you, but cash for this amount of money. How much is the table zoo? Anything in this box? Besides that, anything in this bag, you can buy anything in this bag for £50. For cash for cash. Rotel the cash, the cash agrees, for whatever reason. Or Marshall, have you took it? Ain't can Kenyon. There's no Kenyon here. Nothing happened. There's no sale. It's a complete game. It's invalid. Why? He didn't really come to an agreement to buy this. Because he doesn't know what's inside it. In Tevin, it could be straw. Or Zot, it could be gold. The Rama says this is nothing more than gambling. This is where the dreidels come in.
Let's look inside now.
No,
let you look inside.
Here, there's a bag. You want to buy it?
No, I don't let him see.
You know what I keep in my bags? You want to buy it?
So
this brings us into Asmachta. As you heard already last week, Asmachta means when a person makes an agreement, not expecting or hoping not to end up losing from that agreement, not to end up having to pay based on that agreement, then that is generally not hal except for certain conditions when it will work. This, the Rambam calls Masachet B'Kuvya. Masachet B'Kuvya is partial gambling. People put down money, they spin the dreidel, they win, they lose. And here it's very interesting. Here the halacha is, most shittas hold the works. This is Shulchan Aruch in Reish Zayin, Sifyut Gimel, the Ramah, very long Ramah, explaining how it works, why it should work, and all different conditions. But briefly, there's two main shittas. There's the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam. The Ri holds, if you make a deal based on something which is completely beyond your control, if it lands on a Gimel, I'll give you £100. There's nothing you can do, nothing he can do to change that. Then you fully agree. You accept that. You can't say you're relying on that maybe something else will happen, because you know clearly there's nothing that can influence what's going to happen. But it still says that before playing the game, the money has to be on the table. Possibly it has to be a table belongs to both, and there should be a Kenyan already. Rabbi Natam, he's got a completely different way of looking at it. He also says gambling works, it's koina, it's not gezel deraisa. The reason is because it's a fair deal. Because sometimes I'll win, sometimes you'll win. So people are willing to be masking to lose because of the chance that they're going to win. Agav the boy likno is gomaru makni. We have all over many times, even though kinyon don't always work, when there's a fair deal between two people, that makes it work. What does the Rambam hold about Masachet B'Kuvya? That's a big shayla, a big machlokes. The Torah and the Ramah, they zecha hold Masachet B'Kuvya works. So everyone on the page asks the kasher, why is the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah and the Ramah not arguing, bring this halacha of Komash and Babai is there, I'm selling you everything in this house without telling you what's inside. And the Rambam says this Masachet B'Kuvya is like gambling. And the halacha we hold that gambling might not be a good thing to do, but it works.
There's what? There's two ways, you say.
Oh, very good. So this is already the first heretic. There's going to be a few differences. I'm going to have to work out all the definitions and see how it applies to our job lots. So according to Rabbi Natam, it has to be two ways, like you're saying. It has to be a fair chance. And if the seller knows what's in the bag, the case of the Shulchan Aruch, the seller knows what's in the house in the bag, then there's no fair deal with halal. The seller knows what he's doing. He's trying to get money off the buyer or whatever, and the buyer's not a clue. So you're right, it's completely beyond his control. There's nothing the buyer can do to influence the outcome. He can't put gold in the bag. But since the seller knows what's happening, the seller knows if he's getting the good end of the deal or the bad end, that wouldn't work. The shayla is the fi d'ri. The ri says something which is completely beyond your control, that itself is enough reason to say that you fully accepted the outcome. So you can't control what's in the bag, and you put down the money knowing that you've no idea what's in there. Why does that not work? Why should that not be koinah? So the Saman, the Bach say, even so, even according to the Ri, that the vote is that it's completely beyond the person's control, there also has to be a fairness to it. Nobody's going to agree to a deal where the other person's completely in control and you're completely out of control. The other person can know there's straw in there, and he's asking you for 50 quid, making you believe there might be gold in there. It's something which no person would ever agree to. So even when we fit the rules, we always have to plan in each case and see what is in a person's mind. And in this case, in the person's mind, clearly, he doesn't want to be koina. He doesn't agree, he doesn't want to give the money if there's going to be rubbish in there. And that's the mahalach of the Sma and the Bach and others. The Shach, however, the Shach says a completely different mahalach. It says the Rambam doesn't mean the halach of Masachet B'Kuvya. But look in the Rambam, from beginning to end, you won't find halachas of Masachet B'Kuvya anywhere in Hilchos Asmachta. You'll find that in Hilchos Psula Eidos, Talmud's Masechah B'Kuvios Psula Eidos, is it because it's Gezel is it? Not because it's Gezel, the whole discussion. But he never says the halacha why Masechah B'Kuvios works, doesn't work. So why is he saying here, you know why it doesn't work when he says Kol Ma'aseh Yishon Va'aseh? Because it's gambling. But he never says anything anywhere what the halachas of gambling are. So the Shach says the Rambam doesn't mean that. The Rambam just means it's a joke. He's not bringing the halacha. He's just explaining what the person's doing. He's just making a gamble. Such a thing is a masachik, is a joke. And that's why it doesn't work. And without going into any details, just look at the whole picture and you'll see there's nothing in it. And if you want to say that there are halachas in which even every asmachta works, how do those halachas apply here? Why don't we say that even though it's a joke, but a ma'aseh knew it's beyond his control, or we gave the money over already, all these svaras? Said no, because this person, you're right, he was taking a gamble, but he thought he had what's going on. The reason why he agreed is because he thought, this person's a rich man, what sort of things are going to happen in his life? He's probably got a gold watch in there. If he would have had that, it's really rubbish in there, he would never have agreed. So the whole vote that's matter why it works, why it doesn't work, is when a person is open. You don't know what's going to happen. You hope this will happen. You hope that will happen. But here, it's already a fact which has in the past. It's not, I'm hoping tomorrow something will happen. Tomorrow I'll manage to do the job. That's why I agreed to pay a fine for not doing it. Or such a thing. It's what's in the bag now. But he obviously had something in his head which he thought is in there. And it wasn't. So therefore, it doesn't work.
Double of the deal. You're not paying a heavy price for it. They only a gold watch and the whole parcel's worth for £20.
He's a rich man who's just messing around and doesn't care for his gold watches. I don't know, in each situation you have to look at how the whole thing started, what was happening, how many lechaims we had beforehand. Yeah. So now let's go back to our shailas. The Sma said the reason why this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch doesn't work, why is Kol Ma'aseh Yishon Va'aseh not koina, it's because the Moichan knows what's inside and the lekeach doesn't know. So that already answers the first one of our shailas. What happens if someone buys a job lot and flips it straight away without opening it up? Well, neither of them knows what's inside. So if neither one knows what's inside, you can go back to the normal rules of Masechah B'Kuvios. And in the normal rule of Masechah B'Kuvios, the fact that either one could be gaining or losing, could be worth more or less than what he's paying, or the fact that it's beyond anyone's control to change, all these rules will apply and will make the kinyan b'chah. However, come to the Shach, it's nothing to do with what the Meicha knows and what the Lekeach doesn't know. What the Meicha knows and doesn't know. It's got to the Lekeach. Can you say the Lekeach is serious here? Or can you say the Lekeach was open to all possibilities here? The Shach says you can't. That's regardless of what the Meicha knows. It could be the Lekeach, let's use our example. It could be the Lekeach says, I know what's in job lots. There's always a good laptop in there, there's always a good phone in there, there's always something valuable, maybe a bit of jewellery. But and then you open it and there's nothing, just a trinket. So then it wouldn't help that the Meicha doesn't know. So Shach is what we're going to do to feed the Shach. The Pesach Tshuva already says, the Nesiva says, this is a Machlokes HaPoskim. And in the case where the Meicha doesn't know, we've already got a good leg to stand on for the Meicha to keep the money and not give it back. You can say, I hold like the Sma. The Shach is, can we go further and say, even to feed the Shach, this is no shaykhus, this business of job lots has no shaykhus to this halach. So we're going to try to do that. I didn't find anything written on this, it's all Svaros. So please don't pass me any shadows from this. So what is the real problem in this? What is the real reason why they sold for that? Because you don't know what's in it. So what?
Don't buy. Exactly.
You can't buy things you don't know. So the pasuk get very, very busy. The place where this seif is most discussed is in Hilchos Mechiras Chametz. We all know, we go to the Rav, Erev Pesach, we ask him, please sell all my chametz to the girl. What does the Rav do? The Rav says, all the chametz in the houses of all these people on the list, I'm selling to you. How's that work? The guy has no idea what he's buying. He doesn't know if he's buying a bottle of whiskey, doesn't know if he's buying shares in a huge company, or if he's just pasha buying the crumbs and the peanut butter jar. What sort of mekach is this? So this is a very serious problem, which many, many, many tshuvas discuss. Most of the tshuvas are talking about by the Eved, after Pesach, people forgot to specify. Back in the day, where people didn't do such blanket mechiras chametzes. People sold their factory and their brewery and they forgot a few things. And all the pasuk are busy trying to find ways to say that the sale is taka chal and the chametz is muta. The Pesach Tshuva already brings a very yitzchok, which is very important for our nidum. He says, if you agree that I'm selling whatever chametz I have, but I'm not fixing a price. When it comes time to pay, we're going to bring in three experts They're going to work out what the price is, and that's what you're going to pay. Which is how we do materials commerce. So he says, no problem now. The whole problem is asmachta is gambling. Gambling is only if you're paying a fixed price, you don't know if you're winning, you don't know if you're losing. However, if you know that you're paying the value of what you're getting, what's the problem? That's the Beis Hakmahalach Dambeniz. It also says it clearly, the problem here is asmachta, that it's a gamble. You take away the gamble by agreeing to pay whatever the value of the goods inside is, no problem. However, the Mekir Chaim from the Nesivos, he's chaylik. Everyone's worried about this Mekir Chaim, so everyone brings as an issue. It says, Kushemoicha chomos and someone selling this chomos. Yefarish called min chomos shemoicha. You have to speak out exactly what you're selling. Dim loy kein, if you don't speak out what you're selling, have a kadova she'ina masuyot. It's something unspecified. Doloy kona, which doesn't work. Kamavu, bachosha mishot reish texi. Now I'll see. Avshoim a kol chemsi. Even if you say, I'm selling you chomos, I'm not selling you complete unknowns, I'm selling you chomos. Then kol makom loy have a minu yudua. That's not specific enough, the Mekir Chaim says. The Mekir Chaim says, if you're selling chomets, I'm selling you all my chomets without saying there's whiskey and there's alcohol and there's bread and cake and whatever, it's a waste of time. The man said there's a steer in Mekir Chaim in another place. He does say to do it, so it's not so clear what he holds. But this is Mekir Chaim is the big issue which all the Pasuk grapple with when it comes to Mechir's chomets. So what's going on? What's the question here? The Be'i Yitzchok and Avnei Nezer say, as long as we've sorted out that smachta, you know you're paying the right value, then fine, there's no issue at all. Mekir Chaim says, no, you have to say exactly what chomets you're selling. And the Pasuk discussed, does he argue, does he not argue? But most Pasuk take on the argues, and many Pasuk say the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say this svar of the Be'i Yitzchok. That's because it's a fixed value and you don't know if you're going to be winning or losing. So it seems there's a very basic machlokas in the issue here. Is this issue of our seif an asmachta issue? Is it really the vault of gambling because you might win, you might lose, and you don't know what you're getting for your money? Or is it a completely different issue? Another problem entirely. What's the problem here? Here the Igros Moshe explains. He also argued on the Be'i Yitzchok. So Medayim from the Shulchan Aruch, the previous halacha in Shulchan Aruch speaks about selling a whole pile of wheat without measuring it. Or a whole ma'atif shel ya'in, a whole cell of wine without measuring it, and you fix a price. That works. But if there's an inor, then you have to be chazir. You have to sort out the inor. If it's the wrong price, you have to sort it out. In this seif, it might be the same thing. Now that we're talking about, we're paying the right price, because the previous seif said you always have to make sure the price is right. So why in this seif is there a problem? Why do you say the same thing? You're koina. And if it's an inor, if it's the wrong price, you'll sort it out afterwards. You see, clearly in Shulchan Aruch, even if you sort out the price afterwards, there's still a problem. It's still not kainah because you don't know what you're buying. What's the issue? So the Igros Moshe says, the problem here is not a problem of gambling. The problem here is that the whole thing is one big joke. If you don't know what you're buying, you're not buying anything. Even if it's worth the money you're paying, and you know you're not losing, but how can you buy something without knowing what you're buying? That just by definition is a shtus, it's a schuk.
Why is he buying?
It's
if you don't buy, if you don't know what you're buying.
Exactly.
So why are you buying? Why is he paying?
He's not buying. It's a joke. He says he is, but he's really not.
He's giving him the money.
He's giving him money. He's playing the game.
There's a kid here.
That's the chiddush here. You can't just look at what people are doing. You have to look at why they're doing it and what they really mean. We have to see, is there that? Does this buyer really mean to buy something? Zog Ramosha, if you don't know what you're buying, it's a joke. And he says that's chat in the shach. That's how the shach learns the Rambam. Aims at elokam sachar b'kovyo. This is just one big joke if you don't know what you're buying. And I assume the story was that people were messing around. Said, you don't know what I got in my bag. And he said, you know what, I do know. Okay, so will you pay me for it? And then Ramosha says the second svara, even if you would go with a smachta and say the problem is that you don't know how much you're paying, you don't know how much you're getting, even if you're paying for the right value, it doesn't make sense. I'll sell you X. What is X? It could be a pencil, and it could be the Empire State Building. But I'm selling you X. Do you want to buy it? No, we'll work afterwards. When I tell you what it is, you'll pay the price. It doesn't make any sense, that. So you know you're paying the price. No one's agreeing to buy something costing absolute fortune if he doesn't know that he's doing it.
Yeah.
Not only because you don't know what you're buying, just because even inside the price, you don't know what you're committing to. So we have here two havonos in this halacha. Is this a clear smachta din? Because you gambled, you don't know if you're getting your money's worth, that's why it doesn't work. Or a completely different problem. The problem is a sale, which is undefined, is just not a sale. So I think with this we can look at our shailas again, the story of job lots, and really analyze them. Let's assume for a moment that the goods in the job lot are tackled worth the money you pay. You pay £500 for this pallet. If you work out the value of every item in this pallet, it'll come to £500. It might not be worth selling. It might be £500 worth of pencils, which you're not. You don't have a pencil shop and you're not going to sell them on eBay. But imagine you've got goods worth the money you paid. So now there's two things. You can buy online something called a mystery box.
You what?
You can buy a mystery box. What is it?
A mystery box.
2 to 20 surplus electric items. So what do you get? Especially it's like you pay £15-20, you get 2 junky different. It's 2 surplus electric items. But there's a picture of a computer, a tablet, and a console, it makes very exciting. So that is clearly their lock and show for now. That's one big joke. You know, you're paying money, you've no idea what you're getting, the merchant's choosing what to give you, that's that joke.
You're masking to take a chance.
Yeah, in halacha, when you're masking to take a price, it doesn't work.
That's the whole shift.
However, this job law is a completely different thing. This is a normal way of doing business. Both people gain, the seller gains because he can get a small value for his goods without having to work through them. The buyer gains because for him it's good to take it apart and to work through each item and sell it. That's business. You can't start saying that's a joke. You're right, you don't know what you're buying. But usually when you don't know what you're buying, it's a joke. But nowadays there are certain situations where you don't know what you're buying and it's a good business deal. So why should there be a problem at all? And this worry could even take a provider and say that even if there's a chance it might not be worth the value you're paying. There's a children training mission, they used to auction off Yerushas. House clearance, just auction off the whole lot. And he says there's no problem with Unor. We haven't discussed at all Unor this year. Unor is really a separate shayla. We're discussing whether the sale is valid or not. But when it comes to Unor, a problem of paying the wrong price, he says in such a situation, people come in to buy goods on auction. They know sometimes you gain, sometimes you lose. On the whole, it's kedai. Since on the whole, it's kedai, people are not being matched each item, how much they're paying for it. And therefore, there's no problem with Unor. You can borrow such a svara here as well. On the whole, it's good night to buy job lots and resell them for people who know how to do it. So you're right, one job lot will be a huge profit, one will be a small profit, one might be a slight loss. But it's good night to do it. So you can't say it's a schuk, you can't say he's messing around and joking. So that would help for the first svara of Ramesha of the Shach. And even the second svara, Ramesha says, so what if you're paying the value? If you have no idea what the value is, and it's anything from zero to a huge fortune of money, there's no gemilus tax. And here you know what you're paying. Either it's an auction or it's fixed price, you know you're paying £100, £500 for this job lot. There's no problem there. You know clearly what you're buying. The Omer does, the reason why you're paying that price is because you know, according to the statistics, according to your experience, how kedai it is. There's no problem with that. So let's summarize. In the first case, where somebody bought a job lot and then he flipped it. So then I think there's not going to be any machlokes. I think everyone agrees such a thing is going to be chal. One to the sma and the bach, if both of them don't know what's in, it's for sure chal. Even if you're cholik and you say that the problem is not because the meicha knows, the problem is because the lekeach doesn't know. But in such a case, if it's not a joke, and it's a normal, serious business, then it will be chal, for sure, when he's getting his money's worth. What's the second case? The second case we said, what if the seller, he opened it up. He knows everything that's inside. He hasn't touched anything. He hasn't added or taken anything away. He knows exactly what's inside. He knows that there's nothing amazing and nothing out of the ordinary that you'll finish your month with it. But he's selling on, this is the job that I got from Amazon. For this money, you can have it. So then the merchant knows what's inside. But we can still say the other svaras. It's a normal job lot with a normal price. And there's no issue. But in the third case, someone took all his junk and made the job lot himself, that's tackle a joke. And there, I think we could argue it would not work. And it tackle big neighbor to do that. Besides for Einor and Geneva's tax. There's just one more point that's kedai to mention. This whole halacha, we've been assuming that you need to know specifically exactly what you're buying. It's brought from the Mekor Chayim, even the word chometz is not specific enough. That's not so partial. The Chasson Sefer, the Behuda, the Zerubiki Veiga, they say chometz is specific enough. Chometz is called a certain min, a type of merchandise. And that's enough. You don't have to say exactly, you don't have to define precisely, this is bread, this is cake, this is biscuit. This is chometz. Chometz is chometz. Me'erich Lechem says even more. He says that if you say, I'm sending all the metaltolin in this bag, so that's good enough. Because there are certain things which are not called metaltolin. And that's fine. He's learning that this halacha, as soon as it's slightly defined, it's not a joke anymore. You know what type of thing you're buying. Lefi that, there is yesh mokum leima. You could say a job lot of Amazon returns is also a certain definition. You know, you're getting sellable schoira. Maybe it's broken, but you're not getting straw, and you're probably not getting gold bars either. So it might be enough of a definition to let the sale be valid. And so the Kavod Chanukah just finished off with a short vault, which is a bit connected to what we're saying. I think it's from Reb Shimshon Pinkas. We say that Choshech Zuyovim. The Pesukim at the beginning of the Bereishis discuss the four godliness. Hazal says Choshech Al Pnei Tohim, Choshech Zuyovim. Darkness refers to Yovim. The question is, why is Yovim darkness? Even the Gemara says Yovim is Yafdeh L'Kindle Yofes. The language of Greek is a beautiful language. There's a certain beauty in Greece. And not only that, the Chochmah Yevonis, it's given us mathematics, philosophy, science. These are things which even as learning Torah, these are things which have. These are Chochmahs, which are real Chochmahs. And they help us. Why is Yom called Choshech? Where's the darkness there? So Shem Shavingas gives a marshal. Imagine you've got a person who wants to do research. He's got a certain lake. He wants to know, in this lake, are there any fish smaller than a millimeter? What's no? Can you find such things in this lake? So he goes to the fishing shop and says, can you give me the finest net you have? So he goes to the shop, he buys the finest net, and he trawls the entire lake with this net. Trawls and trawls and trawls, and it comes up with nothing smaller than a millimeter. Checks every catch, nothing smaller than a millimeter. He says, oh, I've discovered there's nothing smaller than a millimeter. Comes along, Chacham says, can I see your net? He looks at the net, he measures the holes. The holes are 2 millimeters. So of course you're not going to find something smaller than a millimeter. Says, what do you mean? This is the best net you can get. They should discover everything in the lake. So this is the site of Yovam. Yovam came along with a principle. We're going to research. We're going to calculate. We're going to discover and understand. But they're missing something. They only understand and research what they can see. They don't realize there's something that you can't see b'chla. There's something which is not measurable with mathematics, with scientific instruments. They don't see that there's Kedusha in the world. There's a Pnimius to everything. They say that when one of the Russian astronauts first went to the moon, first went around Earth, he came back and he said, we've searched the heavens and we didn't find God. Well, you're not going to find Hashem with a space capsule. That's not what you use to look for the Ebushka. So this is the Yesod. We have to know what's Oir and what's Choshech. Sometimes the biggest Oir, if it's lighting things up in a way that you can't see the right things, that is Choshech. And in fact, this is quite connected to what we've been discussing. You look at a normal Goyish lawyer will look at this. What did he say? He said these words, he said those words, he did misrepresent, he didn't. That's not the way we look at things. We look at the Pnimius. What's really going on? What's in the heart? What's in the mind? What's going on here? So tonight when we light the first light of the menorah, see this is real oil, all the flashing lights all over the street now. That's Be'etzem Choshech. It just chitzonius and distracts from everything. Let's focus on what's the real oil and what's real in the world.
Good. Yeah.